Buying tickets can be complicated and confusing, but there is a better way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to every type of live event. Whether you're searching for a last-minute deal, planning a night out with friends, or need to find the perfect gift, SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like being there in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and with just a few taps, I can instantly find seats, as I did just recently when I went out to Minnesota. Yeah, good old Twins games, yes. Good food and good baseball. SeatGeek is designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals, and to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. Best of all, my listeners get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code FFB today. That's promo code FFB for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase.
Well, you know, we've been talking so much about the Brewers, haven't we? This must be sponsored by the City of Milwaukee Journal.
This is the Fantasy Focus Baseball Podcast. Here are your hosts, Tristan Cockcroft and Eric Carabel.
Hello, welcome. It's Thursday. It's June 28th. Ah, yes, we're reaching the end of June, and it's the Fantasy Focus Baseball Podcast here to get you through the end of this month. Important time for fantasy baseball. We've got lots to talk about today, but I mentioned that date just because it's very interesting here. As I bring in AJ Mass to join me, he is stepping in for Eric Carabel today, my co-host. June 29th, AJ, it's the mathematical midpoint of the fantasy baseball season. Can you believe that? And I don't know if you knew this. It's National Waffle Iron Day.
Wow. National Waffle Iron Day. And Belgium is playing in the World Cup. Well, how ironic.
Yes, it works out nicely. A little coinkydink, right? You know, I don't know where they come up with these Kyle, where do they come up with these days? We'll bring in Kyle Sapi, our research mastermind over here, who found it. Waffle Iron Day. I mean, come on.
Hey, they've got a website devoted to this kind of thing, so I'm not going to question it. I don't know who thinks national, like, waffle irons need a day. Like, were they petitioning for said day? But they got it, and we're on it, so might as well make the most of it here.
I don't want the iron. I want the waffle. Just give me the waffle.
Couldn't agree more.
Should we put sweet potatoes in that waffle?
Yes. Oh, yeah. We know. We got to go there because I did notice that. And 1-0 victory for who was it? I forgot. I ignored that game. AJ, you got to fill me in.
Well, you know, we were talking all about the great Nate Eovaldi on Monday. And, toot, toot.
Yes, indeed. Yes, I owe you some sweet potato hash browns. And I'll tell you this, AJ, I have actually started doing the research to find a place that's near us that has them. I was going to get some special order to you, and they're not easy to find. So if anybody has a good old New Jersey recommendation on where I could find these, that would definitely be a big help. I owe you a big plate of the sweet potato hash browns. Anyway, plenty to get to. Let's dive right into the news. It's the buzz. I mean, I hate to start off with bad news, but a lot of the news things really are that. We are going to get into the big positives, have plenty after that, but let's start with Chris Bryant, just because of the big name here in fantasy. Placed on the DL with left shoulder inflammation. It's retroactive to the 23rd, so that means he's already served a chunk of this injury. Not expected to be out for an extended period of time, but I did move him down a couple of spots in my overall rankings, AJ. Your perspective on Bryant's injury, and are there any maybe positional eligibility things or other Cubs impact?
Well, you know, the Cubs are one of those teams where you just assume that everyone can play anywhere. I mean, heck, you can get first base from playing second base.
Has that happened yet this year?
All the time there. So, you know, Chris Bryant is going to be fine, I think. Do I start him next week? Yeah, I think I do. I think this is just one of those precautionary things. They probably didn't want to play him for the weekend anyway. Might as well just get an extra guy on the roster for that time. I wouldn't be too concerned about it. Now, if he doesn't come back immediately after the 10 days, then I'm going to sweat it a little bit. But I think this is going to be one of those,
I'm not too worried either. To answer the Rizzo question, he has one game at second base, by the way, and it was on April 1st, the fourth game for the Cubs. So, no rhyme or reason to this stuff, but, you know, what are you going to do? Another DL stint, this one goes to Lorenzo Cain. He landed on the DL with a groin strain that he was placed there on Tuesday. The hope is here is that it's also not going to be a very lengthy absence. Keon Broxton get called up in his absence. Cain had been picking up his performance in recent weeks, though, so it is a kind of a bad time for him to miss some time here. But you know what? Hey, if he wasn't 100%, get him back to that point. Do you downgrade Cain in your rankings at all?
Just a little bit. I mean, you know, groin strain, and Cain is a speed guy, so anything that's below the waist, you got to be a little bit concerned. But I mean, not too much. I mean, I'd be more concerned if I was a fantasy manager who had Derek Dietrich on my roster. I think there's been a lot of talk about perhaps him making the move to Milwaukee, and if this is the case, I don't know how that impacts his playing time, because he'd be there to like fill in for a guy like Cain and give him a breather from time to time.
And they have plenty of outfielders, as we know. Broxton, I don't think he's going to play an awful lot. You know, he's got that power and speed, but bad in batting average. I don't know that there's going to be a lot there. Ronald Acuna is expected to return from the DL for the weekend series. That is very good news. Acuna didn't have a super great rehab stint, but that was a brief, tiny sample there. Acuna, your projections for him going forward?
Well, I certainly haven't changed my projections for him going forward. I mean, this is a guy who... we saw the impact that he made when he joined the team. Young guy, there's always that fear that he's going to have that second time around the league kind of the pitchers kind of clue into what he's doing. But I currently have him as my number 100 hitter. Certainly there's a lot of upside there going forward. But, you know, dozen home runs, dozen steals would not shock me.
I think I might have him slightly higher than the top 100, but that's a good number to throw there. I think that's a fair over-under bar. I would take the plus side of that, that he exceeds that number, exceeds that value. But I'm with you. I don't want to get too exaggerated here on the rookies and what they can contribute for fantasy. We need to have realistic projections. And everybody knows I'm very big into the trying to keep the projections grounded. So we'll see. It's good news at least, and it gets the Braves another good man in their lineup, a good bat there. He'll probably hit in the middle. Two more updates on big names for fantasy. Josh Donaldson with the calf injury. He's been on the DL for a while, but there was a setback here, and the estimate is that he will miss another 3 weeks before he's even reevaluated. So I would guess we're going to miss at least another month here from Donaldson, and I'm getting frustrated. He's a difficult player to rank based on having to project what he'll give you after his return. Is he going to be less than 100% or not? AJ, how are you valuing Donaldson going forward?
Well, you know, obviously as he was approaching his return, what we thought was going to be his return, you move him a little bit up and up and up, because obviously, you know, he's going to get more games in there. The injury factors in less and less, but a setback like this, I have not adjusted my rankings yet. He's been as high in as in my top 25 early in the season. Now he's down to 55 amongst my hitters. I think we have to drop him probably another 50 spots just because you don't know when he's returning.
Yeah, and I had him as a top 40 guy before this at the better points of this year. Dropped him down near about 70, 75 in the overall, barely in the top 10 of third baseman. And to me now, I think I need to make another adjustment on this. I already just did this week, but need to make another to take him outside that group. I don't think he's a top 10 third baseman. I mean, you with me on that one, or you think he still deserves to be in that class?
No, I just think he can't be when he's had a setback here, and we don't know if he's going to have another setback in 3 weeks. I think, you know, that kind of a situation, you really have to plan to not have Donaldson on your fantasy roster for the rest of the season and just hope for the best.
Yu Darvish working his way back from a triceps injury. There's a possibility he could come back during the weekend, depending on how the progress goes with a bullpen session. He should have one going today. So he is in the middle of throwing here. I don't know if they're going to send him for a rehab stint. That's another possibility. They do have some question as to whether Tyler Chatwood is going to make a start this weekend. They've not projected beyond Friday's game, which is Mike Montgomery's. They moved him up. But Darvish sounds like he should be back sometime in, the next 10 days at most. But I'm a little concerned about this. This was an injury that had a lot of setbacks, and I have moved him down a fair amount in my rankings. I don't think he's in my top 30 for the rest of the year, so I've got some questions. AJ, to you.
Yeah, I just barely have him in my top 50 going forward, and a lot of that just has to do with the fact that I don't know exactly when he's coming back, like you said. And also, I'm not convinced that he's going to make a 100% full recovery this year. I think he probably could be one of these guys who would benefit from just not pitching for like a week or two. And I understand that, you know, they're not paying him to take 2 weeks off. But, you know, long term, that might be beneficial. But obviously, you know, you got to play for today.
For us, I'd rather punt the next month's time, knowing that from August 1st, he came back and gave us 100% Yu Darvish. I would rather have that. I think it's more useful for us, fantasy-wise, if that's the case. Do the Cubs see it that way? I don't know. So good point on that with Darvish. I want to get into some of the hotter performers recently. We had a very big game by Mr. Freddy Peralta of the Brewers, going back to them. Threw a gem on Tuesday. This one was against the Royals. 7 innings, 1 hit, no earned runs. He had 1 walk and 10 strikeouts. He's been pretty incredible lately. Since his 22nd birthday on June 4th, he has 13 shutout innings, 17 strikeouts, 1 walk, and 3 hits allowed. Wow. AJ, I think Peralta's here to stay. Do you? And where would you rank him?
Well, all right, yes. He's here to stay. I mean, you don't debut like that and not impress your manager tons to get a chance to stay. My only concern with Peralta is that so much of his success, at least, you know, from what little I've seen of him and what little the league has seen of him, is that he's got that really incredible deceptive delivery where he's throwing his body all over the place on the mound, which makes it really hard to pick up the ball. However, when he gets the guy on first, he can't be as wild with his delivery. And it's a small sample size, to be sure, but batters are hitting 300 against him with a runner on first. So I'm a little concerned that if he gets base runners on a little bit more, that perhaps he won't be as dominant going forward. That doesn't mean he's going to be a disaster, but it is something that I am factoring into my, tempering my excitement over a guy like this.
It's a very good point there, because there are some guys, Brandon Morrow, I know back during his starter days, does fit into that mold, AJ, as you're saying, the guys who struggle going from the stretch as opposed to the windup here. The things that also get me about Peralta, why I'm trying to be a little bit realistic, even though I think he's locked in, is that the walk rate's pretty high, and he does have a pretty extreme flyball leaning so far. It's a very small sample, granted, but you're right, AJ, it's not like high-velocity stuff. He throws a lot of fastballs, kind of in the Bartolo Colon mold, where he's throwing practically nothing but fastballs. And he has that Joey Lucchese kind of thing where he's getting the deception, I think. So I think there'll be a little correction here, but certainly worth a pickup based on how he's performed so far. Piscotti and Meatballs. I love our good old show nickname for Mr. Stephen Piscotti. Finally performing pretty well here. He's available in a lot of ESPN leagues after a really brutal May here where he batted 160 with 7 more Ks than hits, Kyle. That's a good point there. I didn't even realize it was that many more. He's batted 299 with a 532 slugging percentage in the month of June, and we remember what he did with the Cardinals a couple years back. Piscotti, are you buying?
I am buying. I mean, you know, it's so easy to forget that these baseball players, they're human beings, and he was dealing with so much off-the-field stuff with his mother's health situation, and look, it impacts you. On top of that, he was spending so much time, I've read that he was spending so much time dealing with this whole launch angle thing, and really just what little time he was focusing on the field, he was working on that, and now he finally, you know, his grieving process was over, he was focused at the plate, he said, you know, I'm just going back to what I was doing. I'm going to forget about the launch angle thing, and you see the results. So the combination of just better focus at the plate and, you know, a better approach going back to the way he used to do things, and I'm totally buying in here.
I am, too. I've been a very big fan here just from the baseball perspective. Watched this guy play a lot, and I'm rooting for him after the very tough year, as you said, AJ. Those things do take away things from a baseball player. We need to remember these are human beings. They're not machines. In Piscotti's case, I don't think that the launch angle stuff is something that even should fit into the equation for him. He's a guy who, when I watched him in his St. Louis days, had great all-field power. And I wish he would just go back to that. And it seems he has recently, so I'm buying. I'm picking him up. I think he's one of the better pickups so far. Is Mike Minor one of the better pickups? Yesterday we saw what he had. 6 1/3 perfect innings to start his game. And that gives him 4 quality starts in a row with a 2.08 ERA during that. Mike Minor, AJ, you buying?
Okay, now may I ask you, so that you can remind our listeners, what lineup he was facing?
He was facing the San Diego Padres. Well done.
You know, I'm certainly not going to look at 6 perfect innings against the Padres and say, oh, Eureka, we must have him. You know, he's pitched very well of late, and it's location and it's a little bit deception. I mean, he has gotten a lot of strikes where the umpires are giving him the call. And if they're going to continue to do that, maybe it's, you know, one of these veteran edges here. It's going to help him, certainly. But if he starts getting squeezed a little bit and doesn't get those calls, I think we can have a return to plus 5.5 ERA, which he didn't really get away from until this recent run.
And I think in this recent run, if anything, I credit him that he seems to be adjusting to the new role. He's going back from the bullpen last year to starting. So I think that's a plus. The K rate's a little bit down, so to me, he's a streamer. But I wanted to bring him up just because, you know, lately he's been doing some things and nobody really thought about him about a month ago. Jesus Aguilar, again with the Brewers. I don't know. This is like the Brewers show today. Aguilar's performance cannot be ignored. AJ, I don't know if you've noticed this, but since May 1st, 17 home runs, 44 RBI. And he's not playing every day. That's what's so incredible about this. I mean, I saw a note yesterday, I think it was from one of the Brewers beat reporters, where they were saying, you know, he's not a far cry from MVP vote chatter.
Well, sure. You know, anybody who performs as well as he has performed overall is sometimes the role players are the ones who do get kind of a little bit more buzz, because when they play, it's like, seems like every time they're at bat, they're doing something great here. I think he was very underrated early on. I mean, I was getting people on Twitter saying, why isn't he in the top 300? Why? And, you know, part of it was the playing time issue. It was the fact that I didn't expect him to be playing every day going forward. I mean, the more he does this, though, the more you have to consider that, all right, well, even if he doesn't necessarily play every day, he plays an awful lot and he's doing well. So, you know, he's just outside my top 100 hitters now, and it's been a slow climb and a slow climb. And I certainly don't see any reason to drop him anymore, especially if he's going to be continuing to hit two home runs a week.
Yeah. And I mean, even with the clutter, sending that Domingo Santana helped free up some at bats here. And if he keeps hitting like this, I believe in the guy. He can hit righties. So I hope they keep getting him into the lineup in creative ways, I believe. I think Aguilar's a pretty productive guy. Maybe not to this level. He'll have some regression, but a good player. AJ, I don't know if you know this player, but since May 16th, in 39 games, he's batted 348, 426, 690. Those are the three slash lines here, and he qualifies at three infield positions. You know who he is?
I do not. Please inform me.
He is St. Louis Cardinals infielder Matt Carpenter, playing quite well lately after some injury questions back during the end of spring training. Remember, I had some doubts about him, had a slow start. Matt Carpenter's been on fire. How are you valuing him? I'm bringing him into this discussion because you're a points guru here. I would imagine you like him quite a bit.
Well, you know, one of the things that was with Matt Carpenter when he was doing poorly is that he would get these games and these streaks where he'd just be striking out a lot, left and right, left and right. And when he can get that under control, he's a lot more valuable player in points leagues. And, you know, in the Milwaukee series recently, he had a couple of those, the multiple strikeout games. So it kind of diminished some of the recent value that a lot of he didn't necessarily lose that value in rotisserie leagues where, you know, the strikeouts are just regular outs. But, you know, what he's done in this recent series has just been phenomenal. And that's the kind of performance you definitely want to see from a guy who's going to get you, you know, five extra base hits in a series and just only strike out once. Well, if he's doing that, you know, we're talking a top 50 points league player. It's just, can he continue to do that?
And I frankly think he can. I like when I see a player like this who's putting forth the best efforts that he has, I think the batting average is obviously going to regress. But this guy's got great strike zone judgment. I think that I'm going to buy in here. I think that he is back to 100%. That was the main question for me. I can make you the case, AJ. For me, if I'm doing a points league ranking, I probably would put him back in the top 50. And when I look at him and Donaldson, who we mentioned before, I'm almost inclined right now, after we're done taping this, I'm going to go back to my rankings page and I'm going to flip Carpenter and Donaldson.
I will probably switch the two because of the injury news for Donaldson. But I think Carpenter is probably still outside my top 75, but just because I want to see a full week where he gives me no games with the multiple strikeouts. So once I see that, then I'll buy in again.
Understandable. I still think that means, you know, we got to be on board if we have him for the most part, regardless of the rank. Here's a guy who I've been moving up quite a bit in my rankings. There are two players in the month of June who have at least a 300 batting average, 8 homers, 20 ribbies, and 20 runs scored. One of them is Paul Goldschmidt. We know all about how he's done. But this player has batted 309 with 9 homers, 26 RBI, and 22 runs scored, and his name is Alex Bregman. He's been on fire as well lately.
Bregman is, I mean, stats like that, you can't argue with stats like that. It's like you wonder sometimes what's the question here? What is the question here? He's definitely a top 30 hitter going forward. And, okay, do I think the power numbers are going to continue at this pace? No. Do I think the average is going to continue at this pace? No. But I don't think there's, like, regression here that's going to be so far that you could say this is a hot streak. Let's, you know, sell high. I say ride the wave.
I think he's a learning, developing player. And, AJ, you're wise here to notice I did not feed a question because I don't think there is a question either. I like it. I like it. And maybe you've sensed the theme here. We're kind of going into some of these hot hands. I want to dig a little bit deeper here. We got a question recently. Callie, can you see who it was who would actually mention this to us? They like the past 30 days stats that we had out there. I know somebody on Twitter did that. Like to credit it.
Yep, on it.
Okay, excellent. We did have this question about looking at the recent stats. Eric Carabel had said a couple of weeks ago that he likes to look at past 30 splits, and it's a good thing to do in your fantasy leagues just to see how the player's been performing lately. These are lower-tier players than Aguilar, Carpenter, and Bregman, but I want to mention some of their recent upticks in performance, and AJ, get your perspective quickly on each one of them. We'll start with Joaquin Soria, who in May he was awful and could not hold down that closer job. 6.48 ERA. But so far, he's been one of the most competitive relief pitchers in all of the game this month. Joaquin Soria.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a big Soria fan, but having said that, there's no question that he's doing much better and seems to have gotten himself back into that conversation of being a reliever who you definitely want to consider. You know, I would probably personally rather have Kyle Bearclaw. Now that he's taken over the close role in Miami. But, you know, if you're sitting there and watching what my guy, Urias, is doing in New York.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Sorry, man.
Yeah. So, I mean, of those two, I think Mr. Sorry is going to take my team more than Urias there in terms of fantasy.
Sorry, it's Soria for me too, yeah. Actually, I have Familia ranked higher than that, but I've also been moving him down. I'm getting very concerned there. I mean, I think...
You know, the thing with a guy like Familia is you can see it's not even the bad performance the disaster from last night. It's the fact that he blew up at Josh Harrison the day before for a slide that his own teammate was not concerned about. Triple said, it's fine, dude, and he still went off. I mean, that's someone who's just... He sees the writing on the wall, and he knows that he's not doing well. And that's the worst thing you can see from a baseball player is when you are watching the guy play and you see that the reaction is, I'm not doing well, then there's no hope.
Absolutely. And it's fortunate for him that there aren't a lot of great quality alternatives to him right now. But, yeah, I've noticed the zero saves going on for Mr. Familia. Eduardo Escobar of the Twins. A guy who I don't think gets nearly enough credit, but in the past 30 days has batted .333 with 5 homers and 25 RBI. AJ, I want to bring the name up because Jorge Polanco's name has gotten back in the news, the 80-game suspension. It's to expire on July 5th. However, he caught his finger in the door of a car and injured it a couple of weeks ago and had a little delay in his rehab stint. So people, I think, are getting a little bit overzealous on the Polanco projections. Escobar's playing third base while Miguel Sano's in the minor leagues. What do you think of Escobar?
Well, I think there's absolutely no rush to get Sano back because of that. I liked him a lot all year. Pretty much, you know, when I'm doing my Eric Arabell fill-in, I get to do these free agent picks for the week. I'll be doing that later today. And his name has come up almost every single time I've written it because people aren't buying in, but I am. I think anytime you can get a guy who's available in as many leagues as he has been in over the course of the year – who's giving you top 75 numbers, like, I don't see why you would be concerned about a guy who may not be back as soon as he's eligible to be back. There's no reason to remove Escobar from what he's doing.
I'd agree. There's no reason to rush it. There's no reason to rush Polanco. I think Escobar's definitely handled a a strong utility role, kind of like the Ben Zobrist type of a few years ago, had very good numbers last season, and frankly, he could be this year's Polanco. Polanco seemed to come out of nowhere last year. I mean, Escobar has been overlooked for quite a while. Another guy whose recent performance has been overlooked a bit is Clayton Richard of the Padres. Now, granted, has a long track record of not being a fantasy-relevant player. However, in June so far, he's pretty good. He's 4-for-4 in quality starts with a 2.77 ERA. Would you buy in on Clayton Richard?
I think the thing with Clayton Richard is that it's not even so much that he's doing well in points leagues, it's that he's doing incredibly consistent in points leagues. With the exception of, Texas got him a little bit, okay. And he was pitching uphill against a potential perfect game, so I understand why he was going to look bad by comparison regardless yesterday. But, we're talking 17 points, 17 points, 24 points, 17 points, 20 points. I mean, that's a consistency that you really can rely on, and it's two against the Marlins, but two against the Braves, and they're a solid hitting team, and I don't necessarily think that the National League is actually loaded with a whole bunch of lineups you have to worry about.
I'm inclined to say streamer here for Richard, however, near 60% ground ball rate, Petco Park, which still does have a bit of a pitching leaning, so kind of buy in a little bit, I suppose. Sticking with that division, let's go to Ketel Marte of the Diamondbacks, who over the past 30 days has batted .272, 5 homers, 19 RBI, and 1 stolen base. And, those might not be eye-popping numbers, but he got off to a pretty rough start. His seasonal batting average is .237, so he's up that quite a bit lately. The steals haven't been there, however, AJ. That's what disappoints me most about Marte, but is he worth a pickup? Available in nearly two-thirds of ESPN leagues.
Well, but you have to put it in perspective a little bit. I mean, how can the steals be there when he's got 15 extra base hits this month? It's like, the hard hit percentage is what's really been impressive, that it's all the way up to 46.6 for the last month. And, it's understandable why people were cutting him after he hit .216 for the first 2 months of the season. But clearly, he's turned it around. And from the middle infield, if you're looking for someone to step up, he's the guy you turn to.
Great note here by Kyle. Is an oldish pitcher learning new tricks in Mike Leake. Good point there, Kyle, in that the first 9 starts 6 ERA, last 7 starts 2.17 ERA. Mike Leake, any value there you see, AJ?
He certainly turned it around, but the thing is with Mike Leake is that when it goes south, it goes south. I was impressed with the fact that he was able to perform well on the second half of back-to-backs against teams. I think that is a huge sign, and he's made the adjustments in that regard. So definitely he gets consideration for one of those streamer guys, but he's still throwing those negative point outings in there from time to time on the front end, and so that still concerns me a little bit.
And the thing that concerns me most is that in any of his years of his career, he's never had better than a 6.89 Ks per 9 ratio, and he's never struck out more than 18.2% of hitters he's faced. This guy does not miss bats at all, and I've said many times in this strikeout-rich era, I'm terrified of a guy like this. His FIP is actually one of the highest of his career this year. I think it's honestly an entire mirage. I understand he's been doing well lately, and I would feel free to stream him if he's facing weaker lineups like the Baltimore lately. They're going to be facing the Royals coming up this weekend, the Mariners are, but beyond that, I'm terrified of the guy. Let's get one more guy in here, and we'll bring up AJ. You mentioned his name a minute ago, Derek Dietrich. Derek Dietrich is a player who batted .228 in April, as Kyle points out, .306 in May, and then .386 in June. Not bad, not bad. Not only that, though, he's picking up the performance in terms of isolated power. So are you a Derek Dietrich believer?
Well, like I said, he's done very well. He's had multiple hit games in 10 of his 19 starts this month. Pretty darn good. My only concern with relying on him too much at this point is that I don't know where he's going to be come trade deadline. And if he's going to a contender who's only going to use him as one of these guys who's reliable off the bench and to spell people, then I don't know how many at-bats he gets. So for me, I think if he's an everyday player, absolutely, this is legit, but I don't know that he's going to be an everyday player.
Yeah, the gain he could get here is getting out of that pitching-friendly ballpark and getting to a much better environment for a hitter. But as you said, AJ, yeah, he could end up in a Matt Joyce-like platoon role, and that is the danger with Dietrich. So kind of by there. I think that he's more appealing to me in daily formats, but kind of with you on that one. All right, let's take a quick look at the weekend schedule here. We've got the big weekend coming up, and then 4th of July is coming up in the middle of next week. So let's get into the games as we begin the second half of the year. Thursday, the ESPN game is the Angels at the Red Sox, and it's Jaime Barria against Brian Johnson, who's filling in here for the injured Stephen Wright. I don't see a lot of value in either player here, but I do, AJ, and you can go back to the Red Sox and Angels one if you'd like. The ESPN Plus game is a little more intriguing for me fantasy-wise in that it's Brewers at Reds, and it's Junior Guerra at Anthony DeSclafani. Any of these four names stand out to you?
Well, you know, we've been talking so much about the Brewers, haven't we? This must be sponsored by the City of Milwaukee Tourism. but, yeah, I think Junior Guerra is certainly someone I'm looking for potentially using tonight on the Thursday short schedule. And I haven't seen a lot out of Cincinnati that I really, really like in terms of offense. You know, even when like Jose Peraza gets on base, he doesn't even attempt to steal so much. He had that one game where he went nuts, but it's pretty much one of these situations where even if he gives up base runners, Guerra, I don't think there's a lot of danger in advancing these base runners.
DeSclafani and Guerra for me graded in the Forecaster ratings as near league average plays, so I would say they're all right from the streaming perspective there. If I had to pick between the two, I'm going to go with the home game guy and DeSclafani, but I think it's competitive, AJ. I can see the Guerra being the more interesting player of the two, a little bit longer track record of success this year, not lengthy, but some decent games. Clayton Kershaw makes his second start since returning from the DL. It's against the Cubs here. It's a home game. Oh, I don't know what to do with that. It's not a good matchup on paper, is it?
It's not, but, you know, I after seeing him do as well as he did in his little pitch count performance last time out, albeit we know who he was facing, but, I think you just got to go back to him and just assume that now he's here, he's back.
Friday, the game that stands out to me is this mismatch, or is it? It's the Astros at the Rays. We got to bring up the Rays, AJ, because we remember what happened the last time I doubted them when they were facing unspeakable odds in a game. Gerrit Cole faces Wilmer Font, which sounds like an outrageous mismatch, except I'll point this out. Wilmer Font faced the Yankees in his past two outings and totaled 10 and a third innings, one run and nine Ks. They seem to be stretching him out as a starter, and he's kind of one of those sabermetric darlings where I've seen the projections engines give him more favorable numbers than you'd think.
Tampa Bay 5, Houston 2.
Oh, boy, are we going to double down here? Wow. You don't really believe that, do you?
I do. I believe they're playing very well right now, and everything's coming up roses for them as it is. I mean, look, Bowers is playing well. You know, everyone's sleeping on Matt Duffy because, you know, he didn't play last season because of injury, and I picked him as a sleeper in the preseason, and, you know, he's sixth in the AL in batting average, folks. Mm-hmm. Why are you sleeping on this guy? He's legit.
Yeah. He's been playing very well lately, too. That's another guy I could fit in that recent hot hands. And I've got my microscope over this Wilmer Font game. I like what the Rays are doing with this, but Font's the guy who's being used as the opener, and it looks to me like they're turning him into a legitimate starter, a guy who uses the full pitch count here. We're not far
right,
away.
And the former opener is now the closer and doing quite well with Mr. Romo there. I mean, Leo, I'm telling you, man. Joining that wagon.
I'm so happy to have our editorial watchdog Leo Howell back.
Yeah, when I went on vacation, I went down to Durham and gave a pep talk. I didn't get all the way to Tampa, though, so it must be just like Bowers and guys like that who are relaying the message.
It's being passed like a game of telephone here, so Leo, we're crediting you fully for the Rays' recent success here. The other guy of my my microscope over here, or what would it be, the magnifying glass or the like, it's AJ. It's a game you might be familiar with. I heard there's this team that plays in New York. It wears blue and orange, and it's visiting a place called Miami. We talked about a player from there a minute ago. Another mismatch in Jacob DeGrom faces Sandy Alcantara, who Derek Jeter said that Alcantara will come up and pitch for the Marlins in this game. Do you see anything there?
No, here I don't see anything. You know, the Mets may not score a lot of runs when DeGrom is on the mound, but he's not giving up any runs either. Once you get to the bullpen, sure. So, I wouldn't necessarily rule out all the hitters for the late game there, but I just think that this is a matchup that the mismatch is going to live up to the hype, and I am not going to buy in with Mr. Sandy.
I'd agree. Leave him on the free agent list, but definitely watch it here. There could be some value down the road, but I've always wondered whether he has closer stuff, not starter. We'll see. We'll see. Worked out for Frankie Montas, so maybe it a little here, but give him some time. ESPN Plus game is the Indians at the A's. It's Trevor Bauer or Paul Blackburn. Yeah, that's a mismatch. just a little bit, right?
Just a little bit. He leaves one or two over the plate. I'm sure the A's may get a couple of solo homers out of it, but not sweating it.
Perhaps. Saturday starts with the ESPN Plus game of the Tigers at the Blue Jays. It's Matthew Boyd. It's Sam Gaviglio. The Blue Jays rotation is a little bit up in the air, but I do believe Gaviglio will get locked in for this game. It's the next turn around the rotation. We'll see. There are a couple other pitchers here, AJ, and you can pick from that game if you like the ESPN Plus, but three others who are either making recent returns to the rotation or just joining them straight from the minors at DL. Adalberto Mejia of the Twins is expected to make the start at the Cubs. Jeremy Hellickson is expected to rejoin the Nationals from the DL in a game at Philly. And Shelby Miller makes his second start since returning from the DL. Not so good the first time. Faces the Giants this time.
Yeah, I don't know that I would go near any of those three pitchers. I mean, Hellickson, simply, they're playing in Philly. It's not a really good ballpark for him. And Shelby Miller, again, just didn't look good. And I'm not necessarily going to start him at all until I see him do. I mean, he was not Robbie Ray in his return. That's for darn sure. And kudos to Mr. Ray for doing as well as he did. So, I think if there's any pitchers that are on the board that day, Edwin Jackson's going. Oh, it's a rough day.
Hey, he pitched all right the other day, but, it's a Cleveland game this time. So might be rough the second time around.
Indeed.
Could be a good day for hitters, other than the fact I know Verlander's pitching that day. Oh, sorry, Leo. He's facing the Rays.
We'll be all right.
Yeah, you never know. They'll watch them beat Garrett Cole and beat Justin Verlander, and then it's going to be all Rays here. And, AJ, you're going to be highlighted for the Rays pick after the Uvalde game the other day. Sunday, the weekend wraps up with Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN. Like the pitching matchup in this one, it's Red Sox at Yankees. How about that? They're playing a weekend series here, and the Yankees went out of their way to get Luis Severino into this game. He's facing David Price. I just want to bring up Severino here because, Kyle, as you had noted, Severino's pitching like he does deserve some mention as one of the members of the top tier of fantasy starting pitchers. Maybe not in this game. But what do you think of him for this matchup, and what do you think about his overall value, AJ?
Yeah, right now I have him as my number seven pitcher going forward, just ahead of Jake. I get no run support to DeGrom. I like the Houston guys, obviously, with Verlander and Cole. Certainly the run support there is a big factor. He's not in that elite tier just yet, but creeping ever so closely, absolutely.
I actually have him right there with Verlander and Cole, Justin Verlander and Garrett Cole. Just ahead of Jacob DeGrom, just like you, AJ. So we're pretty close on that. Severino, for me, is actually my number five starting pitcher, but I see it as a little bit fluid between four and nine or so. Nine is my Madison Bumgarner one. So, yeah, he's enjoying a pretty good year. Throw thanks to Max Breese. He's the one who brought up the past 30 days discussion there. So thanks, Max, for sending that in. Good suggestion. In the meantime, let's get to the hash browns. Okay, today's hash browns are brought to you by Ballpark Buns. If you're not out grilling, someone is out grilling you. That's why you need Ballpark Buns in your lineup. It's like having a number one draft pick at every backyard barbecue. After all, Ballpark hot dog and hamburger buns rank as America's favorite buns, delivering fresh taste and outstanding flavor with every bite. Head over to ballparkbuns.com to see the whole roster, from Ballpark's golden hamburger and hot dog buns, baked with a touch of honey, to the oversized Tailgaters gourmet hamburger and brat buns that really let you pile on the flavor. Need a home run recipe to spark your grilling genius? BallparkBuns.com has got you covered there, too, with recipes for zesty blue cheese burgers, hearty chili cheese dogs, guacamole turkey burgers, and so much more. We've also got a blog full of tips and tricks to level up your grilling game and tailgating talent. Get all this goodness and more, including the Ballpark Buns product finder at BallparkBuns.com. That's BallparkBuns.com, home of America's favorite buns. Ah, yes. Eric's not even here to hear the song. He's resting in his hammock listening to this, I'm sure.
He has it on replay. I've been told this by very good sources.
Ah, yes. Unidentified sources?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm like Woj over here. I keep my sources close to the vest. That way I continue to get sourced information. They keep their identity. It's all good.
Now, somebody in the clubhouse is going to say, I vehemently deny that report. He doesn't listen to that.
We'll see how it goes. You could be right, though.
I think you're probably right. All right, what do we got?
Well, yeah, we'll get the hash brown started here. Zach asked an interesting question. He wants to know where the cutoff is for the starters that you're setting and forgetting, the starters you're putting in for every start, no matter what the matchup is. Where do you draw the line for that?
Good question. For me, I don't think there's more than about 25. Five or so, and I might be generous there. I've said that coming into this year, I was going with the mix and match strategy. 25th for me right now in terms of the Roto head-to-head starting pitching rankings is Eduardo Rodriguez. This is the tier that's got guys like Patrick Corbin, Kyle Hendricks. Dallas Keuchel is just outside of this. Miles Michaelis is just outside of this. Russ Stripling could be part of that. I'd probably be starting him every outing, but it's right around there for me. It blurs in the middle of the 20s. AJ, how about you?
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly, obviously, we just discussed where the top tier kind of sits, and you're not going to care who DeGrom, Severino are starting. You're going to put them in. I would say for me in points leagues, I have the line after Corbin, and he's my 21. But it varies a little bit because obviously Michaelis is a little bit ahead of that, whereas Hendricks is a little bit behind that. So I think points leagues, there's fewer automatics simply because you have that, you know, the walks that factor in a little bit heavier. And so a team that's got a good on-base percentage is probably going to affect you a little bit more than it would in a standard league.
I still maintain top 25 is the new top 40.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. Like I said, mine stops at 21. You'll have 21.
Sounds about right to me. I like it. Nick wants to know, he's got to cut one with a guy coming off the DL. He's got Gausman or Bieber. Who does he cut?
Shane Bieber's pitched pretty well since joining the Indians, and I do think he's locked in. We mentioned that on Monday's show. I'm a historic Kevin Gausman supporter. I mean, people know how much of a big fan
apologist
I am.
Apologist might be the word at this point.
Yeah, apologist. Hey, he's no other guy whose name I'm not going to mention because we're not going.
Hey, he's a dad now. Everything changes, I'm told, when you have kids.
This is true. Yes, it does really change. Yeah. I cut Gausman. The velocity's down. It's simple as that.
Yeah, I mean, Gausman is below what I guess we're calling now the Corbin line. we have a new Wandy, huh? The Corbin line, he's below that. For me, Bieber still has a lot to prove. But what is promising for him is that he seems to be a pitcher rather than a thrower. He's got multiple pitches. He came off his first game, and he was just throwing fastball. And in start number four, he was down to 50% fastball. So I think he's learned a little bit more of the excitement out of his system that he can pitch in the majors. He doesn't have to throw in the majors, and that's what's very promising.
All righty. Frankie's up next. He's got Chad Kuhl. He's got the forearm discomfort. He's worried there. Obviously, forearm injuries, no good, I'm told. Wondering if this opens up a spot for Nick Kingham, and if so, would you prefer Kingham to a guy like Ronaldo Lopez, Joe Musgrove, or Frankie Montas?
Forearm injuries aren't good?
No bueno.
Who would have said that? I would never. I mean, nobody would have said that on this show, would they have? It's they haven't even scratched Cool from his next start, and I don't get it, because it's maddening for me, because when I'm doing the forecaster grid, I have to keep him in there, because I don't know what they're going to do with that spot. They could push it back. I'd lean towards Kingham getting it, and let's assume here that Kingham gets that spot firmly for the next month. I don't think I'd take him over Musgrove. I think Musgrove's got better stuff.
Maybe I prefer Musgrove as well. I mean, even though he's obviously not done very well over this last couple of starts. But I agree with you. Musgrove's got far better stuff.
How about over Lopez? I mean, I'm kind of I could flip a coin there. I think I'd go with the NL pitcher and the guy in the better ballpark, Kingham. You?
I suppose so. I'm not really high on any of those guys. Like, of the batch, Musgrove would be the one that I have the most, optimism about, though, like I said, recent performances leads me to think that perhaps we can just, load up on perhaps some relievers who are getting a few extra innings, like Matt Strom, and just hope for the best and hope he continues to start.
I love it when you get them and they're not the opener and they don't burn that start in your starts caps league. I mean, I'm loving this year. By the way, the other thing, too, speaking of the middle relievers, Josh Hader having like an all-time year, like an all-time great year.
Yeah, and you get these randos coming up. Lou Trevino in Oakland, has he got 6 wins already? I mean, that's insane, and certainly you can't count on that. But if you take a chance on one of these guys, you never know when they might become the guy.
Yeah, Blake Treinen could get traded, the A's closer, and Trevino got the fill-in save yesterday when Treinen was unavailable, was too tired. So, yeah, good name to throw out there. Any others?
Suwanyo is doing pretty well in Toronto. I don't know that Tepper is necessarily going to be fully on board going forward. So maybe you want to reconsider him.
Alrighty. Eric, presumably not Carabel from the hammock, wants to know, who are you watching from an innings cap perspective down the stretch in the second half?
Not from the hammock. Question from the hammock. Could you? I have not done the calculation for this yet, but I tend to go to the teams that lean this direction, and the two that always stand out are the Cardinals and the Reds. They're usually pretty conservative, so I would say they're going to keep a close eye on guys like Jack Flaherty. I believe Lucas Weaver probably has built up his pitch count enough to last the whole year if he improves his performance. John Gant could fit into that. The Reds, Tyler Mahle, who's had a decent year here there, could be one definitely in question. I'm trying to think of some other guys for you. You know one who's not? I don't think that Blake Snell is a guy who's going to be a big worry for this year.
Yeah, I would concur. I think you took the words right out of my mouth. Flaherty is definitely a guy that I've been getting flack for on Twitter for not having him as high in my, why is he not in your top 300? I mean, that's the reason. I just don't think he pitches come September.
Some of the other guys who had injuries to the Angels, two lefties, Tyler Skaggs, Andrew Heaney, they could be keeping an eye on that, especially based on what their competitive state is.
Sure, and you get later in the season, if the Diamondbacks have no reason to pitch Shelby Miller any more than he's been pitching, certainly bye-bye for him towards the end. There's no reason.
All right, what else we got?
We've got one more from Spencer, but what were you doing last Tuesday? Can either one of you remember?
What we were doing last Tuesday?
Last Tuesday.
I was probably working on my rankings update last Tuesday. This is the thing. When you say last Tuesday, you mean the 26th or you mean the 19th?
I mean the 19th. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, not a few days ago. The 19th.
Last than a week ago. 19th.
Feels like a long time ago, doesn't it?
It does feel like a long time ago now.
Yeah, well, that was the last time Tommy Pham got a hit. He wants to know what he can do with him in his points league. He's basically dragging him down across the board right now.
Ouch, he hasn't hit it since June 19th?
Yeah.
That was Garfield's birthday, wasn't it?
Garfield the right cat or James Day Garfield?
It's the lasagna curse. Pham came up on the show 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I think I remember saying that what if the eye issue that he's dealt with
resurfaces on occasion. Yeah, you mentioned the streaks.
What if it made him into a 3 true outcomes type player, a guy who's very streak? Well, maybe not 3 true, a streaky natured player just because of that. That maybe the underlying numbers don't suggest that he's 3 true outcomes style, but that he's naturally streaky because of that condition. I buy. I'm a Pham backer. Look at my ranks. You'll know.
Yeah, I mean, certainly, I agree with you there. I mean, Sam is top 40 hitter when he's on, and when he's off, he's awful, to be sure. But, yeah, it's disconcerting that he took a golden sombrero during the stretch, and you have to wonder, always with him, is this just the standard slump that every batter goes through, or is there something physically wrong with him, especially with the vision? So, hopefully, nothing two for four. And a 1-for-3 can't fix.
This guy busts his butt to do the best he possibly can. He's 82nd on the player rated for the year. That's all I got.
Tristan, we've got one more hash brown from me, the producer.
You?
Yes, me.
Anthony Claudio comes in here. Yes. Pushing all the buttons and making this machine work. All right, what do you got?
First time, long time hash browner here.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm going to watch my Marlins this weekend and have a nice cookout, where can I find the best recipes?
That's an easy call. Check out ballparkbuns.com/recipes for a ton of great recipe inspiration. Now I'm hungry. Now I want to grill. Got to get me some turkey guacamole hamburgers. I like those. Yeah.
With the Mets in town, you could just cook your hot dogs and burgers on the trash fire that is the Mets bullpen.
Oh, geez. Actually, it's going to be pretty darn warm last I checked this weekend, so really might be well in the cards. I'll have to get me a hammock and kind of relax in the backyard.
A little touch of Swarzak for any barbecue.
Goodness. I'm sorry, AJ. This cannot be an easy season.
There's a lot of people turn off the movie Moulin Rouge about three scenes early because it's a happy ending at that point. I like to just watch the first 6.5 innings of Met games and then just, call it a night.
We should just DVR the Mets game and only play the Jacob DeGrom parts of it where he's pitching, like ignore the batting portions of the game. And this is the worst thing too. Like I'm busting your chops over the Mets and you and I should have this big cross New York rivalry. And I don't, I feel bad for the Mets fans. I do. Anyway, what are you going to do? All right, well, everybody have a great weekend here. That's going to wrap it up for today's Fantasy Focus Baseball Podcast. Thanks, of course, to AJ Mass, my guest for this week. AJ, you will be back for me on Monday, I'm told. Filthy rumors, right?
Yeah, I'm warming up the singing voice.
All right, yes, sing some great tunes for us on Monday. Thanks to Leo Howell, our editorial watchdog. Thanks, of course, to our research mastermind, Kyle Soppy, and thanks to Anthony Coletti behind the glass, pushing all the buttons. It'll do it for today. Enjoy your weekend, everyone. Everything is awesome. Awesome.
The theme song for the Fantasy Focus was created and performed by Eric Hutchinson. Check out more of his music at erichutchinson.com. Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Focus. For more great podcasts, log on to the iTunes Music Store or Pod Center at ESPNRadio.com.